You are listening to The Three Intuitive Healers with Heather Nicholson, Angela Johnson, and Stephanie Gonzalez. Produced by The Three Intuitive Healers Show. Visit thethreeintuitivehealers.com for articles and podcast shows discussing our personal insights and sharing our experiences with you. It is our belief that every human is an intuitive and every human has the capacity to heal. We'll take you along with us on a journey of self-growth and healing so you too can open your mind, heart, and life to the healing magic within. We'd like to thank the listeners for tuning in today. My name is Heather Nicholson.
Angela Johnson.
I'm Stephanie Gonzalez.
I took a break in the middle of the day and I did this quick 20-minute yoga, which felt really good. And right before then, I pulled a card, like, what does Toa want me to know? And I got six of swords upside down and I read what the book definition was, which I don't normally do. And it was not letting go of old issues. And it's this whole thing of like the ego death and, you know, things falling away. And that's why I'm sad. Sorry, I'm trying not to cough. But that is like, I'm holding on to things that I need to let go because it's starting to affect my emotional life. It's coming up in weird ways. You know, you have this leak that came as a bubble in the wall, but what's really happening is something over here. This is happening with me where I need to let go. I've done the work. I've processed it. Let go of the pain already. Let go of the old. Let go. Have the ego death. You know, just all this sort of similar related things. And it's just kind of came to a head today. I just everybody I was talking to, I was like, you know what? I'm just emotional today. So I may start crying in front of you. I don't know. But let's go with this. Sure. Have a conversation with me. So that is sort of where I've been all day today.
And you've had them in the past, right? Where you've had these
also,
right? And how is this one any different than something in the past? Or are you handling it any different, do you think?
I think, first of all, no, it's not different from those in the past. Mm-hmm. And in that, I feel like every time I go through one, it takes me a moment. Usually Heather saying, I think you're having an ego death, to realize what I'm doing. I think I'm handling it much more honestly. Like, I'm just being honest with myself instead of trying to muscle through. Honest with the people around me and phrasing it according to their world. In the woo-woo, I can say, ego death, this is what's going on. For those who aren't in a woo-woo, it's just, you know what? Things are kind of getting to me right now, going through a lot of change. Just phrasing it in a way that people will understand. And then not using that as an excuse to be a jerk to someone, but just being gentle with myself and realizing I can't get to everything because everything is so overwhelming and so bittersweet and so sad right now. And I can't put my finger on why I'm sad, but I'm sad about everything. And is it hormonal? But it doesn't all feel hormonal. So, you know, just a bunch of analyzing, I guess. So yeah, did I even answer your question?
You did, absolutely. And I was going to ask Heather, maybe we should define a version of ego death, Heather, as Angela's explaining how not only is she having one right now, perchance, but she's had them in the past. And could you help others understand what we're talking about?
Yeah, sure. I mean, for me, ego death has always changed. So mine started out with... when the spiritual teachers I was talking to, she was channeling my team and I had asked her something and they came through her and was like, they just kind of kicked me right in my butt and I didn't like the message that came through. And I was so pissed off at them. I was telling them where they could stick it, how they could stick it. And it was not pretty. And I remember getting so emotional about it and just crying myself to sleep over their message. And I was like, why am I crying? Why am I so upset? And even I heard in my head, like, Heather, it doesn't have to be this way. You know, it's like, you're getting really emotional. And I said, I understand. Just let me work through this. And, you know, so the next morning I woke up and I was eating humble pie and I was just like, I was emotionally exhausted and it I didn't realize that I was in ego death, and it was really extreme. So this just screw you and your stupid messages that you come in on, because I mean, what part of the message was, is that I needed to walk away from everything. I needed to walk away from the spiritual teachers. I needed to walk away from, I walk away from everything and go within and not learn other people's dirty tricks and taking it as my own. And then also not, you know, listening to the message that they were giving me and, you know, practically giving away my power and relying on what somebody else was saying instead of myself. So I got really upset with that. And I just was like, you know, it's just not fair. Other people have all these, you know, tarot cards or whatever they use, and you want me to walk away from all of it, and you don't want me to use these things. I understand I'm better for it, but it really sucks. And that's where I came up with the analogy. I feel like you gave me IKEA furniture, stuck me in a dark room, and told me how to put it together with Morse code. So I understand I'm going to be better for it, but it was just, it was not, I did not receive it with gratitude, that message. And so each time I had an ego death, there was crying involved. And sometimes I wasn't sure whose emotions they were. These last two times, it was the same thing. It didn't feel like all of it was mine. So I just tried to focus on what percentage was mine. And it was very small. And it made it easier to look at going within, recognizing that it wasn't 100% mine. And then knowing it was only like 15-20% of it was mine. So it was easier to look at it instead of looking at it from 100% of it was all mine. And then just giving myself some slack. What is an ego death though? An ego death is also a bag of cats in my head where I can't stop. The mental process is just like, blah, 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 and then you're just like, strap yourself to a seat and just listening to the ego argue with itself and you, and you're not having it.
To me, it feels like I've outgrown everything all of a sudden and nothing works. And it's, you know, we've said in the past, the little hermit crab moving out of one, growing out of one shell, that discomfort, but there's that terrifying cross across, you know, like, where's the next shell? And it's incredibly vulnerable while it's moving from out of one shell into the next. Yeah. And to me, not to jump on you, Heather, but to me, that's what the ego death feels like. It's like all of my old coping mechanisms, all of my old theories and philosophies, all of a sudden, everything that I used to define, well, this is the world, this is how I operate in it. Suddenly, the majority of it just doesn't work anymore. It's not that it doesn't make sense, that it doesn't bring me that same sense of knowingness that it used to. And so it just feels like kind of maybe we're reacting in fear. Like, why did we believe in this for so long? It clearly isn't real. And it's a matter of you've grown out of one understanding. Mm-hmm. And this is the way I calm myself down. You've grown out of one understanding and you're growing into another. And those dark night of the soul in between is when I usually find myself going back to, okay, well, I know one thing. I am love. I believe everybody, you know, we're all divine. So that means we're all love. And if that's all I know today, is that the core of me is divine and love. And my intention is to be kind today to whomever or whatever I encounter that includes me. Some days that is all I have to believe in and to go off of and to frame my existence for that day. And then slowly things start to coalesce and things start to come together. But if you're having, you know, the listeners, if you're having this time or you're angry and nothing's working and all your old beliefs and mechanisms aren't working and maybe you might be going through an ego death where it's this old version of you is dying off and this new one is asking to come forward.
I agree with that 100%. And I liked your analogy of the hermit crab. I love that, of not about growing your shell, of not being comfortable, you know, in your space. That's really huge. On a visual, I would describe it for me as the image of looking into a mirror and having like a rock thrown at it where it's just shattered. And I've lost sight of the perception of who I was. And the first time it came to my attention was not even that long ago. Heather and another friend of ours, Donna, and I were, I guess it was probably going on 2 years ago, probably right before Christmas. Heather, we were having dinner together, and I had been feeling disconnected. I was telling her my symptoms, like I just didn't, I felt numb. I felt disconnected. I was like, did I care about the connection of spirit anymore? Reiki didn't seem to be working. I don't know where my magic went, and people bugged me, and you know, there was sadness. It was just all those emotions. And I was just, I don't think I even heard really ego death ever in my circle. And they had both said, I think you're having ego death. And it kind of just blew my mind, but it was comforting at the same time, because one, I had a diagnosis. Okay. So that's a good sign, right? And then two, I could explore it and try to see if that really fit and then what I could do from there. And once I got that identified, that really helped me. I felt so much better because they understood me, right? Two, they could see it. Scenario or mindset. I really did feel comforted, and I felt a little more at ease. And from there, I guess I just found my way back to, well, I think I started with my expectations. I really think that's where I really kind of rebuilt myself type thing with all, because I think for my case, everyone's different. I think I was just piling on expectations and labels and identities, and it was just growing out of wobbly proportion, and who I was becoming and who I was were not in sync anymore. And I think that balance is what, for me, cracked me open to the death of the ego would be the death of perhaps my old beliefs or this person who was not functioning well in my new mindset or my new environment anymore.
Yeah. Well said.
So how many times do we have to have this, ladies? That's, I think, what people want to know. How many egos can we die?
I mean, how many egos have you tacked on over lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes? It's just not this lifetime. Because I know sometimes when I've had an ego death, I've kind of sensed that it's a past life that has tacked on these core beliefs that just need to be shed.
Interesting.
It is interesting. You really think that there's ego from the past life?
No, I'm not saying that there's ego. Okay. There's core beliefs.
Oh, and they're attached into your identity.
Yeah, and then your ego picks this up, and you start acquiring it from a young age. So that's where ego comes into it.
So when we say the ego dies, I mean, certainly it never really dies. It, what would you say? It just gets rebuilt, or?
Yeah, on a level for me, there's this feeling of, you expand and so does your ego expand. I mean, you can have actually, I think we get to a level where we start having our ego work for us and not against
us. It's a valid part of who we are, right? We need our ego. Otherwise we don't, I mean, I don't know the textbook term, but we don't have the identity so we need our ego. The goal isn't, to Heather's point, to get rid of the ego. But there's a refinement. There is, as she says, have it work with you versus work against you. I don't know. I kind of equate it to, you know, how when you were a teenager or a 5-year-old, how when somebody would upset you, just the way you would handle it versus now, the way you can sort of approach things with a little more grace, a little more ease. The emotions may still be there, but you just have a bigger toolkit. And I just kind of feel like the more ego deaths you go through, yeah, it is sort of an expansion. It is sort of a, for me, I become more compassionate. My compassion level for others goes up after each sort of ego death and recobbling of who I am. I become more compassionate. I can see more what am I trying to say? I can see, oh my God, I just lost my vocabulary. I can see more perspectives. I can see different perspectives and more people's understandings of what's happening. I can start to share in their point of view and be less attached to mine. That's what that means for me.
That's the outcome for you, you're saying. Yeah. Do you think that some of those symptoms you're experiencing now or that I talked about in the past are because we have resistance to what's happening? Do you think if we, Heather, have you ever just slid into an ego death? Can a person do that without all these emotions and feelings that we're having?
I'm not understanding. Can you just slide into an ego death?
Well, I use the word slide into it because like what?
Not have the drama.
Right. Like Angela's saying, she said, I know I have to let the baggage go, this old stuff. So she's aware of it. And so we're resisting it.
I think you have to get to that point. Yeah. I think you have to get to that point.
Can you have an ego death? If I'm understanding you, Stephanie's asking, can you have an ego death where you don't have any of that pain, any of that trauma? You're just like, oh, time to move shells. Right. Okay.
Yes. Cause I'm going through that right now, actually. I recognize it and it's not the drama that I've experienced in the past. Is that gonna
drama that I'm going through?
No, but you remember when I got really upset a month or so ago and I was right where you were and I was just, I had had enough. I was just like, screw it. And I was going, that was an ego death for me. And then I remember that weekend, I just banded in consciousness. So right now I feel like I am, but it's a very detached way of feeling of an ego death. And I'm not sure I can look at it. Does it mean like my next ego death is going to be the same way? No, I don't think so at all. It all depends what's being released or coming up to be released.
That's a good expression. What's so funny is you totally reminded me of the advice I was thinking when you went through it. I was like, oh, I have to remember this because an ego death can actually be, or the dark night of the soul can actually be an exciting time because you're getting rid of
exactly
everything and you're building a whole new foundation to stand on. And that new foundation that you are creating is more solid and coming from a higher altitude than you have ever been able to build from before. And of course, the minute I go through a dark night of the soul, I don't remember any of that. That might have helped me earlier in the week when I felt like, you know, angry tears. Wish I'd remembered that.
But I think it's because, like you mentioned, Angela, you're losing something in this process. And so even though you know it's in your best interest to lose it, it's still familiar. It's still part of you. So there's pain to it. Even if your mind doesn't see it as pain, there's obviously an emotional attachment to it, huh? So it's probably very hard not to be affected when it's as deep, perhaps, maybe, of what you're releasing and what you're moving through or outgrowing.
There's a nostalgia to it. Like I keep having the
melancholy.
You know, when you finally get that new home and you're so excited to move there, but or let's say you're going away to college. You're moving towards something you're really excited about and you've been wanting for a long time. But then you have to say, goodbye to your childhood home or bedroom. Or, you know, there's that bittersweet of, you know, you've completely outgrown this. And it's time to let it go. And you don't want to stay here. But those last moments are so sad. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, what makes me reattach. I keep reattaching to what I'm letting go. It's like, I now release, and then I like ninjas, you know, like ninja arms, like very quickly grab and bring it back. And I'm having to stop myself from reattaching.
Have you asked yourself why you could be reattaching? What is the fear behind this? And just like look at the fear.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I have been, and I know myself. This is nostalgia. This is the old familiar. These are old relationships with myself and the way I view the world that I am going to let go of now. And that's sad in a way. And I don't, maybe I'm the only one that gets sad and that's a bit crazy, but I have to, I think, focus more on where I'm going versus on what I'm letting go of.
What if you did a ritual, like a ceremony of saying goodbye.
Ooh.
That just came to me.
I like that.
Yeah.
You know what comes to mind? That would be very helpful, what Heather's saying, because in the animal kingdom, let's use lizards and snakes. You know, they shed their whole skin, and they literally shut down. You know, they don't eat, and their whole new skin comes about, and so it's visual. And animals shed their coats. You know, the pups and stuff, they lose their winter coats, and they thin out in the summer. Certain birds, don't quote me on this, but I think no, at least I'm not gonna say it because it's so ridiculous.
Peacocks, they lose their leaves. Beaks.
There yeah. we go. And antlers are dropped, right? During yeah. the molting and stuff. Yeah. And we as humans, we don't see what we lose, right? We know our skin's replaced, and we're told that there's the dust is our skin. And you pull your hair out when you brush it. But for the most part, we don't see what we release and what we lose on a regular basis. So yeah. I think maybe we're not comfortable with that. And so it becomes an emotional experience rather than perhaps just a physical response. We do outgrow ourselves.
I think I agree with what you're saying. And you know what you just like triggered this weird urge based on you and Heather's what you're saying to like, this is going to sound weird, sage my hair. Cause you know how like in Native American culture, the hair has great power, I think. And how women, especially after a breakup or a divorce, we cut our hair. All that energy that went into, you know, I have long hair. So this is years of energetic tree rings, so to speak, that are in my hair. And I wonder if, I don't know, I don't think it's a fully formed thought, but you just have me thinking about the power of hair. And in terms of, we say the issues are in our tissues. This is years
representing, years right? Yeah.
Of emotion.
It's holding, like you say, it's holding memory, it's holding energy, it's holding your past, your present, and what will be your future. So, yeah, that's interesting. You can make a ritual out of that.
Yeah.
And honor what you're losing and what you have. And if she comes back with this super short bob, you know, yeah, no, Monday.
I'm not cutting this. No.
Do it. There's freedom there.
Yeah. There's self-growth. And then there's having to look at yourself.
You know what? Can I have your clippings? I'll attach it to mine.
Yeah, there we go. We're all going to get a little talisman of Angela's hair to go through life. There we go. How funny. Put it now on our website.
Ew.
No, but that's very interesting to be able to honor it. Like Heather says, to do something with it.
And yeah, do a
acknowledge
ritual.
It in a different way.
I like that. I'm going to play with that this weekend. I'll let you know how it goes on Monday.
Stephanie, what about you? What do you do to, you know, what do you do to recognize that you're having an ego death?
Well, you know, recently I will say though, I've been on top of the world. So, and this is related and not related. So excuse me if I go a little bit off, but I have been having a skip in my step for really since the year started. And I'm happy about it, really right before actually even too. But I always say, I feel so good. I'd love to do a cartwheel, but I know the physical response would probably not be in my favor. So I do mental cartwheels, right? Yeah. No one wants to see that, but I've been feeling good. And I think, again, without really going into today's some stuff I got to go through, I see it as like a protection thing. Like I was building myself up to be in a place where when things surprise you or don't go as you yeah. like, you've already prepared yourself. It's like my self already knew the future and said, you know what, you're in a good place. Let's get you revved up. Things are going here. You're going to be, you know, able to work through, you know, chaos or, you know, mental fatigue or whatever shall come. And so I look at that and I appreciate that. So I think it's not the ego death, but I think it's kind of related to the ego in some way of that.
Getting you at a high enough vibrational yeah. frequency that you don't crash and burn.
Right. So I think ego, you know, we're talking about the death of it, which is a sorrowful time and can be very painful, but perhaps the opposite is also a place where an ego growth, you know, the opposite side of the spectrum where,
that's your expansion.
Right. And I did come off of, I had an ego death in the summer. In fact, when we, I was thinking about it when Angela was saying how she was feeling. I recall feeling that way when it hit me in June, a couple months after our, when we first did the lockdown, and I had been okay through it, and then it just kind of hit, and I was very sorrowful, and we were really early, you know, early into it. We didn't know it was still going to be going on. So, but I think those ups and downs are so important, because every time we rebuild ourselves, right? Be like the $6 million man. We're a little stronger. We're a little more capable. Our tool box is bigger and grander. So I think it's exciting. I'm sorry that you're uncomfortable going through it, but I know you'll be better for it. And so do you, right? Because yeah. After the storm, the rainbow, and you're going to be like, oh, so glad it's behind me. And you're able to help others as they go through it.
Thank you. And it's a good point. And I'd rather go through the pain of growth than be complacent and stagnant, you know? So I'm fine with that. Quick question. I was trying to look it up. What is your birthday, Stephanie? I'm curious numerologically what you're at.
You mean like the number?
Or the month and the day.
Oh, well, yeah, September 21. I'm a 3 as far as my power day, 2 and 1. And yeah, what am I?
You're in an 8 year.
I'm in an 8 year.
You're in an 8 year. So yeah, this is all, this makes sense. Why it's does like, it? Okay, it's time to build. It's okay. Time to power. 8 is power and it's responsibility, but that makes sense. And it also makes sense why last year, your 7 year, which is sort of an internal
spiritual, more reflective.
I know a lot about numerology. So anybody listening, if I'm getting this wrong, you know, I apologize, but my general understanding is 7 is a much more about sort of knowledge and kind of getting the wisdom necessary. And then 8, you just come out. This is like your power year. So it makes sense that you've had a skip in your step.
Oh, and you're taking, and you're getting the number, if I'm correct, from the from 2021 as a 5 year, right?
Yeah.
And you're adding that to my 3, and that's where we're getting the 8, everyone. Okay. Got you.
Do you do at the month and the date?
Right. Yeah, so it's a 5 year. You don't add the month just right now. 2021 is a 5, right? 2, 1 is a 5. And then she's adding it to your new numerical birth date if you add those numbers together. Or
yeah, so 921 equals 3, because anything plus 9 is itself. So, and you said you were the 21st, correct?
Right.
Okay, so 9 plus 2 plus 1 is 3. Add that to 2005.
Now he's like, don't do math.
Heather's like,
get your calculator. Come on. There's your TI.
Basically, she's going through a 5 year. I'm sorry, an 8 year. And again, it's been years since I've really looked at anything regarding numerology, but 9 is the end of the cycle. That's sort of when you wrap it up and then you start all over again at 1. So she's in her power year. Heather, you would be...
You're a 2 and a 7. You're a 9, right, Heather?
I'm a 9.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're a 9 plus a 5. It's going to be your 14.
Okay, see, 5. Now I understand that one.
So she's
okay.
A 5, right? And 5 is the freedom, the change, the break the rules, the buck the system. That's the way I understand 5.
Well, wait, hold on a second.
So did I do math wrong?
You're 1127, so ultimately it's a 2.
That's a 2.
Yeah.
20. Oh, because you're
because it's
you're
9 and 11.
Okay, you're adding the 11.
So now 2, and then okay. So now she's a 7.
Oh, she's a 7. Okay, there's your spiritual reflective self. You're coming together.
It's going to be an internal year, but you are going to learn a lot
about yourself.
Yeah.
About the world.
And then
I already am. This morning I heard you're catching on really quickly.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, because I saw, because I woke up from dreaming and I was in that in-between space, and then they showed me pathways and I said, oh, that's pathways. And then all of a sudden the pathways were all craggy, kind of like rocky. And I was like, oh, that's distortion. And I was like, let's heal it. And I said my little mantra of, you know, I release all densities and distortions that have ever registered in these pathways. And I release them and transmute them with love and light back to the source. So, and they're like, oh, you're catching on really quickly.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you're 7. I'm a 9. So I'm coming to
the end of the cycle.
End of the cycle this year.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting how we're all in alignment? 7, 8, 9. That's pretty weird for, you know, friends on there. Someone could be a two, someone could be a six.
Really?
But we're right, 7, 8, 9. And that's why we'll always be consecutive. We'll always be.
Yeah. And that's why sometimes it's harder to get along with a friend because they're, you know, if you have more, you know, it's one,
diverse.
One year, you're a one and they're a seven. It's like, you're going out there and they're going in. Whereas the next year you're a two, which is about partnership, and they're an eight, which is about going out there. So all of a sudden there's more of a
gotcha.
Natural being in sync. Again, anybody listening, if I'm butchering this, I apologize, but let us know.
But we like this. We like this version of our math. Learn more.
But yeah, so I didn't mean to derail our conversation, but you saying you have a skip in your step all this year, I was like, you're in a good problem.
Right
there.
Yeah.
You're working with it. You're working with the energy.
I think, you know what? Thank you for bringing that. I think that's exactly what it is. There's a, there's probably a surrender that came last year, and there's a responsibility and an ownership of stepping in to, you know, the grandness, the possibilities, the opportunities, you know, of really just showing up type thing. You know, like Heather always talks about the word showing up. And I think that's it. I'm not cowering as I did more so, you know, last year and the years prior, where it would have been more hiding, staying in the shadows. I think this year it's a little more spotlight.
Yeah.
And adjusting to it. So that's a big deal. So,
you know what? Yeah. So last year was my 8 year. Mm-hmm. I started all those Zooms. I helped start the Reiki clinic. Like I was just like, and now this happens, which was pretty amazing to have your 8 year during 2020. Now that I think of it, it's like everything was locked down, but I was just like, no, got to get out there. Got to be seen. Got to do this. And I'm not one that normally is like, got to be seen, but it was a compulsion, like, got to get out there, got to get the message out, got to help people, got to do this. So
you had this fire in you. Yeah,
I had it.
It would be you and a desire.
At the beginning of the year, I was
right. So you're thrown off. Yeah, yeah.
Because now it's a time of letting go and wrapping it up. And next year, Heather, who is learning all about website and getting all that going this year, you're going to be pushing out there.
Who knows where she'll take.
Let me make another crystal grid for that.
No, but it's important. I'm glad you brought that up, Angela, because we do talk about the sad effects and the uncomfortable waves of the death of the ego or the dark night of the soul. But the positive, like you say, is that we're not stagnant, that we don't look every day as a monotony of the same thing, the same people, the same experiences. And no, these are important times, these ebbs and you know, the ebb and flow of it, these ups and downs. And when we don't resist it and we accept it and heal it and work with it, it can be very exciting to look back on for sure. Yeah.
And you know what? And if our listeners are stuck in that rut and it's a monotony, I there's a lot of self-inquiry that needs to happen. And I challenge you to do self-inquiry.
Where would they start, Heather, if you could, like, so say a person's just like unmotivated, tired of it, unmotivated, feels sad, feels unmotivated. That's a hard one to get through, right? That's hard. It's such a stuck feeling.
I think they need to find, for me, when I was stuck and I was unmotivated, I needed to find out, what do I really want to do? What does Heather want to do? Not what other people want me to do, not what people envision me to do. I had to stop and take a look at what Heather really wanted. And it was so hard because I was always living by other people's parameters and expectations. And for me to stop and ask myself, what do I really want? It kind of made me sad. There was an ego death that happened with that as well, because I got sad and realized that I didn't know what I wanted. But it also brought me to a level where I got excited because there was only one way but up.
That's a really, when you are at the bottom, when you've hit rock bottom, to know that there's only one way to go now, it can be comforting.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had to stop and ask myself, what do I really want? And I didn't get it that day, that week. It took months for me to really find out. And another one is, you know, put it out, put it out in the universe that your intentions, I want to change for the better. And I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how that looks like, but I want to change. And that's the other thing I did, because I had to surrender. I had to surrender what that was going to look like. And that's when I was in my room at that one time. And I said, I don't want to be like this anymore. I need help and I need change. And I don't know how to get there.
Can I ask you both a question regarding what Heather said? She said, ask yourself what you really want. Do you think there's a version, or there's two versions, what you really want, that soul, that passion, that inner self, and what the ego is telling you that you want? Do you think there's two different things? And we,
of course,
because I think for me, right? So yeah, you would, how would you identify it then, Angela? How does one talk to themselves?
You know, it's funny. I think almost like, is that success when you finally marry those two, when they come to an understanding where your ego's not driving, like, well, but it's got to be bigger, it's got to be better, more people need to hear your message if it's going to count, versus your heart's desire, which is to help people, you know, like, I don't know, I just, to answer your question, sorry, oh my gosh. What's the question?
How would one identify whether it's really what they want to do? Like Heather says, ask yourself, what do you want to do? So say I say, an example would be,
how do you know the difference between the two?
Right. How do you know whether the ego's telling you this is what you need to do, or really what you really want to do?
Maybe this is just me, but a good litmus test for me is when I think, if nobody else ever knew, would I still be doing this? Like, if nobody else ever knew that I put out a weekly tarot reading,
gotcha,
I would still do it.
I like that.
It makes my heart happy.
Right.
And I enjoy putting that out there, because maybe it'll help someone. Now, if my motivations, if it was ego, like, well, we need to do this because it'll get the message out and we'll get numbers and blah, 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 blah. Then if that wasn't true, if I could get those numbers elsewhere, that would be ego. That would mean that, oh, okay, if I'm not still willing to do it, even if nobody else knows, then chances are your motivation for it might not be from your soul. It might be from someplace else. This doesn't mean you shouldn't do it, because sometimes you need to do the most logical thing, and ego is a tool to be used. But in terms of determining like what your soul wants you to do, that's how I equate it. It's kind of like, this is going to be a weird metaphor. Would you still love your partner if I fell in love with Chad thinking he was the prince of some nation, and then it turns out he wasn't? I'd still be in love with him. It doesn't matter if he has titles or money or power. I love him.
I think for me, mine's on a more physical scale. Mine's
look at her. She's like, what did I just, because I wanted to ask, but he lied to you. I'm going to a whole other direction.
No. By the way, Chad was very, very forthcoming that he was not the heir to a throne.
No, but maybe you need, wait, on a side note, maybe you just need to hear yourself say that today.
Yeah.
Right?
Sometimes the ego helps. Like it says, don't say that dumb thing. Right. Oh, she's going to say it. Oh, she's not listening to us. All right.
That's great.
No, I was just saying, because for me, when I notice the difference between ego and heart, it's I physically feel actually the ache and the love that comes up from the idea of it. So when I kind of tap into my heart center and I'm like, do I still want to be at a level where I can help heal people? And then just this overwhelming love kind of bubbles up. And sometimes it's really minute, but it's still there. And if it's ego, it's more, it's a thought, and it has to do with an action. So you need to be better at this, or I'm going to do this so I can be better at it. So ego is always action for me, but if it's a heart center, it's, I just get this little feeling in my chest and it feels like love.
That's an interesting, and I really love that, Heather, and I'm going to explore it if we've got a few minutes to do that. Okay, so ego, you're saying, is an action thing. So let's take in something from your heart. Let's take in the Reiki clinic. Okay, so you're like, I want to do this because I want to help these nurses, and I love Reiki and I believe in Reiki, right? So that's the heart.
It's more down to fine tuning it. I want to be the change that I want to see in the hospitals.
Right.
So this is a way that Reiki can be in the hospitals.
So when does ego get in the way? So if the ego says you're not doing enough, that's already ego. If you're saying, gosh, but I could do more, you know, that's not your heart, because your heart is happy that you're involved and you're doing it. So you're saying, if it becomes like, well, we need more people.
Ego gets involved when I start not being in the flow. And then I've got to start making up, presentations so I can have it for other hospitals, and then making sure that, you know, we're going to get it on the East Coast right now at this moment, and it doesn't feel right. So I know that that's ego.
It doesn't feel right yet.
Yet.
I do want to like qualify that ambition is not a bad thing, and visualizing this and having goals. It's just that sense of there's a rhythm to it, and we know where we're at in this process, and it's too soon to take those steps. Mm-hmm. But if ego gets involved, it could very easily tell you, well, then you're going to lose it all.
Yeah.
Well, then somebody else is going to come up with the idea. Well, then nobody's going to want to do, you know.
And you have to do it this way, right?
And for me, and I'm sorry, I keep cutting you off, Heather, I'm sorry. For me, Heather had this idea that was similar to mine, and we both kind of had this parallel thing, and I reached out to her and said, hey, why don't we work together? And then we brought in Sarah. If you let ego get involved, when we're describing it to people, we're very certain to say, you know, the three of us are co-founders, we do this. But if you let ego get involved, you can get territorial, like, well, I came up with this part of it, or I came up with this part of it. It starts to tear you away, versus if it's really coming from the heart, it's like, oh my God, our ideas blend together so beautifully. Yeah. And now we're creating something new, and you start to get into the joy, and there's not fear. If fear starts to come into it, ego might be.
That's a great explanation.
It's the fear of missing out that ego then goes, well, then you better push harder. You better, you know, get that onto the East Coast. And no, come from your heart. This is right now. This is to help other people. And this is where we are at in the growth process. It's very different from, we have goals, we got to do this.
Or ego trying to hold on to its contribution versus we've all
ownership.
Working together, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. Ownership. Those are good definitions. Good definitions to clarify where the heart is speaking and where the ego is speaking. Very nice, ladies. I like that.
And you can add the shadow side to that too, because I'm really learning how to work with people and not let my ego get into, well, but wait, but my part with it. No, let that go. But also do acknowledge your contribution. Don't give it all away because you're telling yourself, oh, I shouldn't have any ego. That's the sort of the shadow side. You're still letting ego dictate your actions there if you're not giving yourself any credit or any acknowledgement or any ownership of it. So there's this fine dance that at least I go through when I'm dealing with this. And I can tell when ego is coming in, because I'm like, well, wait a minute. That's not how I envisioned it. It's like, well, that's adorable. You have two co-creators. It's never going to be exactly how you envisioned it. That's called co-creation. So I'm personally really learning a lot with that. And it's been a really cool journey to go on. And it's been really neat to go on it with Heather. And she saw it early on when I was like, I'm going to schedule everything and I'm going to do it. And she's like, having to just, that was ego, thinking I had to do all the steps. And she's like, I can make it so much easier. I know about software. You know, like, come on. So I'm learning a lot about ego and its role in co-creation.
All right, ladies, I think that's all the time that we have today. We like to thank our listeners for joining us on the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. We hope you're able to find the healing magic within. Thank you for listening to us on the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. Remember, when we open ourselves to healing, we positively affect our environment. This podcast represents the opinion of the three intuitive healers and their guests to the show. The content should not be taken as medical or psychological advice and is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Each person is unique, so please consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions. Views and opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not represent that of our places of work. While we make every effort to ensure that the information we share is accurate, no guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statements or opinions made in this podcast.